Hi friends, this is Jessica, host of Virginia Outdoor Adventures, coming to you with another bonus episode. Season 3 of the show will be launching soon. Until then, I have great bonus content lined up for you, so be sure to hit the subscribe button in your podcast player so you don't miss new releases from Virginia Outdoor Adventures. In this bonus episode, I speak with Brian Livingston, author of the new book, The Habits of Squirrels. Drawing upon his own experience completing a through hike of the Appalachian Trail, Brian wrote this fictional tale about a retired mailman who uses a through hike to assess his life, career, and family relationships. Brian shares a sneak peek into his book, as well as his insights and advice for anyone considering a through hike of their own. Please let me know what you think of this episode by messaging me on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or email me your feedback at jessica@virginiaoutdooradventures.com. Without further ado, I present my conversation with Brian Livingston, author of The Habits of Squirrels. I'll catch you on the other side. Brian, welcome to Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
What do you love about Virginia's outdoors?
One thing that I sort of took for granted while I was up there was how easy and accessible it was. I feel like the other places I've lived, you've sort of had to plan your hikes and make sure you got there early and beat the crowds and did everything. And then, this is a little skewed because I was in rural Virginia in Lexington, but I always felt like I could just wake up and sort of decide to hike and then just sort of throw the dog in the car and be out there and be ready to go. And, I always appreciated that. And that was true for hiking and then just sort of getting on the river, on the Maury River in Lexington too. And I always appreciated that. And it's been much more difficult and required more planning as I've lived in other places to get outdoors.
Lexington is probably one of my absolute favorite towns in Virginia. So you were quite lucky to get to live there. I'm really enjoying reading your book, The Habits of Squirrels, which is a new release. I'm curious, what inspired you to write the book?
So I've always had writing fiction sort of on my list of a thing to do, and I always wanted to at least try and write a novel. And then I through hiked the Appalachian Trail in 2013, and you have sort of one of those experiences. It's obviously something I spend a lot of time thinking about, and it's a big, long, transformative experience with a lot of sort of different links in the different episodes, and it just sort of lends itself to being written about. And so just in the 5 or so years after I hiked the trail, I sort of had ideas about potential characters or potential ways to write about it and sort of put it to the page, and eventually just found one that I liked and found some characters that I wanted to spend time with, and started putting pen to paper.
I think this is really different than a lot of the other books and also online blogs and resources that I see from other through hikers. Typically, most books about the AT are, I hiked the trail, I did this portion, I arrived in this town, I met this person, then I hiked some more, then I arrived at the next town. This one's very different. So what made you decide to use this format?
I was sort of, there's a lot of very good memoirs and other books about the Appalachian Trail, but I was very much trying to avoid the, like what you just said, like it sort of gets guidebooky. Like, I walked for 15 miles and I got to this town. I ate here. It was good. We moved on to this town. Try and add more of a narrative to it and try and add more, make it, try and avoid the phrase read like fiction, but read better and be a little more interesting and engaging. And, then it allowed me to sort of put some distance between the characters and myself and play with the events, and I'll make it more narratively pleasing, maybe exaggerate some things that, weren't quite how they happened to me or that, I'd wish they had happened this way, and sort of highlight different aspects of it rather than be sort of tied down to specific towns, specific events, going around asking all the people I hiked with whether I had permission to use their name in their stories.
Many through hikers end up with a trail name, and you have a very interesting trail name, so I'm curious where this came from.
Yeah, so my trail name was Mr. Frodo. I guess it's still my trail name. This doesn't translate to the podcast well, but I am short and hairy and have big feet. So when the Lord of the Rings movies came out, my two older sisters started calling me a hobbit. And then when I decided to walk very far, it just sort of made sense to lean into the Hobbit aspect of it. And I went on, I think, Amazon and got like a $4 knockoff ring, Sauron's ring, and put it around my necklace like Mr. Frodo did in the movies, and hiked with it. And it was a very natural transition. When people saw that, they're like, okay, so your name's Mr. Frodo. And that's the story of my trail name.
Do you still wear that necklace?
I left it in a motel room in Brooklyn during the hike.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I didn't complete my hike or complete my quest. Luckily, it didn't have world-ending stakes. But
that
was embarrassing to be Mr. Frodo without the ring, especially after everything he went through and kept the ring. I wasn't able to keep it.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, Brian, thousands of people embark on an AT through hike every year, but few make it the entire distance. What's the secret to completing the AT?
You have to enjoy it. A lot of people approach it sort of like a challenge or like a thing to be overcome. But if you don't enjoy the hiking, either just because you like hiking or because you love being out in the woods and like enjoying the animals, or you can sort of find that meditation in the rhythm of hiking and sort of zone out for a while and pass through the day. You have to do one of those. If you're solely doing it as a challenge to see what you're about and you have no interest in sort of the day to day, I mean, it's too long. I mean, it's 6 months out in the woods, and that's what you're doing for those 6 months. It's not like a part-time gig. It's almost impossible to sustain that purely on a challenge. So yeah, I mean, just letting yourself enjoy it, and then finding ways to enjoy it, really.
I think it's interesting that you just refer to it as a meditation, because it kind of is a meditation. You do get absorbed in what you're doing and in your surroundings. So I don't often hear people call it a meditation, but I think that's a really appropriate term for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely some of the easier days out there are the days where you sort of find that groove and kind of go into autopilot, and your feet are still moving, but your mind's elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. So your book, The Habits of Squirrels, is about a retired mailman who uses a through hike to assess his life, his career, and his family relationships. And you've said that you drew upon your own experience hiking the AT when writing this story. So I guess I'm wondering, what did you learn about yourself on the trail?
You get better at a lot of things. I definitely got more patient on the Appalachian Trail when, your destination is that far away. You sort of learn how to make it through the day and know that you're not going to achieve your goal that day. What I learned about myself, and it's sort of a tandem between my actual hiking experience and then just building on that experience by just reading a lot of trail literature and spending time in that world, is the through hikes are a really good way, or like long adventures, really, of sort of stepping out of the routines and the habits of day-to-day life and sort of clearing the slate. And then when you can spend your time on through like sort of assessing how you're spending your time and what your priorities are. And then when you re-enter the world, you can be more deliberate in sort of just building your life back. And like, I used to watch a lot of TV. Maybe I don't want to do that anymore. I used to be subscribed to so-and-so. I used to drink such and such amount. You don't have to get back into that routine. And it's a lot easier because you've already broken that routine. So it made me very deliberate in like how I approach taking on obligations and how I spend my time. Definitely more so than I was beforehand. And then just on a fundamental level, it made me realize how little it takes for me to enjoy myself, because I had a great time spending, just sleeping in a tent and eating ramen and walking all day. So it's nice to know that I sort of have that backdrop if things go really sour in regular life.
Mm-hmm. Now I understand why you call it a meditation. The main character in your book, the retired mailman, he has a lot of time to reflect on all of those things. And it sounds like you did as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to put some distance between me and him, but take the lessons that I learned and apply them in a new way to, you know, his life journey, I guess.
What are your most memorable moments on the AT? Are any of them squirrel related?
There definitely were squirrels. I don't know that I had any big moments with them. Every now and then you'd sort of really anger a squirrel when you're walking down, and for whatever reason, they, instead of running side to side to get away from you, they would run down the trail. So you would keep sort of displacing the same squirrel, and it would get incrementally more angry. But no big incidents with them. The big stuff that I think back on, I already sort of referenced it. When I went into Brooklyn, we made a surprise trip into New York City to attend Wicked on Broadway, which it sort of came out of nowhere. Like, somebody offered to let us shower in their house, and we said yes. And then they offered to drive us to the train into the city. And we're like, well, that kind of sounds fun too. And then as we were doing all that, we discovered you could enter a lottery to get front row tickets to Broadway shows. And we did that. And because it's the Appalachian Trail and things just sort of seemed to work out there, we got the tickets. So we went into to Wicked in borrowed shorts. And then just smaller memories as well. Just, you know, I always think back on, there was a day, it was in Virginia actually, and I had a really terrible day. I think my feet were really bothering me. I was getting blisters. And the meditation, I guess, had gone sour because I'd gotten into my head and worked myself up over something. And so I got into the shelter, and I think I was the first one there, and I was miserable, and I was sitting in my tent just sort of steaming. And then I hear one of my buddies come up that I've been hiking with, and he had brought a case of beer out there. And so that immediately resolved everything. And I was able to sort of sit around the picnic table and turn in a pretty nice night.
That is nice. I'm surprised somebody would carry a case of beer. I mean, all that extra weight on top of what you're already carrying.
Yeah. To this day, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think we were near town. I don't know how we got it, but I think it came from, you know, the heavens just to help me get through the day.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter how it got there. It's just that it got there.
Yeah. I was not in the mood to question it.
I'll bet. In chapter 17, the main character has an experience with a ghost, and this jumped out to me. Did you have any other worldly experiences on the trail, or how did that end up in the book?
I did not have any otherworldly experiences on the Appalachian Trail. The year after we thru-hiked, a group of us got back together and decided to complete the long trail in Vermont. I think it runs with the Appalachian Trail for like 100 miles and then has 160 miles separate when it goes up to Canada. So we're going to do that last portion. We ended up not making it because the long trail is very difficult. Mm-hmm. And but we stayed in one of the winter shelters up there. They have the sliding doors, like the barn doors. And we'd gone to bed. We're all staying in the shelter. The door was shut, and it was such that there was only like one shaft of moonlight. It was a full moon that night, kind of coming through the middle. And in the middle of the night, I woke up because I felt something looking at me. And I turned and sort of looked to the center of the shelter. And in the moonlight, there's a little girl's face looking back at me. And you know, I'm tucked into my sleeping bag. So like I jolt, but not really. I kind of like bump against the wall. And by the time I sort of recollect myself, she was gone. And then I was up for the rest of the night. And then in the morning, I went through sort of the trail log, the shelter log, and saw just a lot of people had similar experiences. And then I went and Googled that shelter. And a lot of sort of hauntings and strange noises and eerie sightings. So that served sort of as the basis of, I think her name's Caroline in chapter 17.
Wow, that's really interesting, because there are so many stories about haunted shelters or old sites that are near the trail that people have lots of stories about. I myself have had a couple of experiences out near the AT in Shenandoah National Park. So I'm a believer, because once it happens to you, then you're a believer. It doesn't matter what you think beforehand. When it happens, you're like, oh, okay, this really does happen.
It's hard to convey the difference between like seeing a ghost and like thinking you saw something. Like just telling that story, I got, you know, goosebumps thinking back to it. And it's a much more visceral reaction, and it's different. It's just like it's on another level than sometimes when you think you hear something in your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes the whole experience different when you're in a tent and you hear noises and you're like, oh, it's just the wind or it's just animals, and then you're like, oh, but maybe it could be something else.
Yeah, you're very exposed. What were your experiences in Shenandoah?
If you don't mind me asking. Goodness. Well, I'll try to summarize them as quick as I can. The one day I was in the park, it was a weekday and it was raining, so there were very few people in the park at all. And I started to head down a trail. There were no other cars at the trailhead, so I knew I was going to be the only one. And I hadn't gotten far down the trail when I heard voices behind me. So I turned around and looked, and there wasn't anybody there. So I just kept going, not thinking anything of it. And a few moments later, I heard voices again. So I turned around and I waited for a moment, thinking somebody would appear, but nobody did. And so I was like, well, that's weird. I, again, just kept going. And then a third time I heard the voices, but this time they were so close that instead of just turning around, I actually stepped off the trail because I thought somebody was about to pass me. But when I turned around, nobody was there. And so I'm standing on the side of the trail, confused and trying to figure out what's going on, when the voices start again, but this time they're coming right towards me. And it was almost like it was like two people whispering to each other. And so it got louder and louder as it approached me. And then it passed right by me and kept going down the trail. And like every hair on my body stood up, goosebumps. I mean, I was like, I could not explain what had just happened. And I was so freaked out, I turned around and went back to my car as fast as I possibly could. I was out of there. So I was not sticking around to find out what that could have been. I didn't see it, but it was like I heard it three different times, and it just went right by me. And I was like, okay, those were not insects buzzing. That was not the wind. I mean, it was the weirdest thing. So I got out of there real fast. And then the second experience I had was actually quite recently. It was last year. I was hiking alone and I headed down a trail that apparently passes through an area where there had been people living, but I didn't know that. It was the first time I'd ever been on that trail. So I'm hiking alone, and then all of a sudden I just got this weird feeling, like it was like an uneasiness. That's really the only way I can explain it. And I started looking around me, like into the trees, into the woods, expecting like to see somebody or something. But of course, nothing was there. And the more I walked, the more unsettled I felt. And it just was like a really odd, weird feeling. And I couldn't stop looking around me, trying to figure out like what was there. And after a while, I did see something in the woods that you couldn't see very well from the trail, but I'm a birder, so I had binoculars on and used my binoculars and realized that it was the headstone of a grave. And so I thought, this is really fascinating because I love learning about the history of the people who lived in the mountains. So I wanted to go back and explore it, but I was a little short on time and also feeling a little weird. And I was like, I'm going to skip it, but I'm going to come back here next week with a friend and we're going to check it out. And so I kept walking. And as I continued walking past the cemetery, then I started finding like old stone foundations, like maybe where houses had been, and some clearings and just evidence that something had been there. So the following week, I came back with my friend and I told him nothing about what had happened the week before. And we headed off down the trail, and it was a narrow trail. So I was walking in front of him and we were chatting. And then just as we got to the area where I had started to feel uneasy the week before, he got real quiet. And a couple of times I turned around to see, you know, if he was okay. And every time I would turn around and look at him, he was looking back over his shoulder. Which I thought was interesting. And then at one point, I just didn't hear his footsteps behind me anymore. And so I turned around and he was standing still on the trail with his whole body turned sideways, staring off into the woods like he was in a trance. And I asked him what was going on, thinking maybe he saw wildlife or something else caught his attention. And he didn't move, didn't respond to me, nothing, just stood there like he was in a trance. And then he just starts walking off the trail into the woods. And I was like, oh God, what is happening? And so I sort of backtracked up the trail to where he had been standing, and he got maybe 20 yards into the woods and he was just standing there. It was the weirdest thing. I was talking to him and he wasn't responding. Eventually he turns around, he comes back to me and he looks me right in the face and he goes, "Something's following me." And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, something is behind me. And I keep turning around and looking, expecting to see somebody there, and nobody's there. And so then I finally decided that I would come clean and tell him what had happened to me in that same spot the week before. And so I told him, and he was like, yeah, something's definitely here. And I said, and there's also a cemetery a few yards down the trail from here. So then we went back to the cemetery and we explored that, and then kept going and checked out the other things that I had found. And he found some additional like foundations and other things that I had missed the week before. But then like once we got past that area, then that whole feeling of the uneasiness and feeling like something was there just like dissipated. It was gone. So, you know, it was one thing that I had that feeling, but then to go back and have him have the exact same thing, you know, happen to him without me telling him, I just thought was really, really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's proof, or, you know, that's an interesting turn.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, you know, once that happens, you're kind of like, yeah, maybe something's out there. And, you know, there's a lot of history from the indigenous people of this area who talked about spirits in the mountains. Also, if you read books about the history of the folks who were displaced when Shenandoah National Park became a park, they talk about spirits, but they call them haunts. So, you know, they had their own stories about things that happened. So it just kind of seems to me, if, you know, this history has been talked about for hundreds or thousands of years and people are still having experiences, then, you know, maybe there's something to it.
Oh yeah. The old mountains.
They are. They sure are. So I didn't mean to get us off on such a such a rabbit hole here, but
but it's so interesting.
It is. It's really interesting. There's so much fascinating history in these mountains, and if you just stop and pay attention to it, it'll suck you in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Since you chose to write a fictional book about your AT experiences, I'm curious what you were hoping readers would learn from your story.
Just what a big experience it is to go out and do a big through hike, particularly the Appalachian Trail. You know, I know my book's not set on the Appalachian Trail officially, but just, you know, how many layers there are to it. Just like the interesting people you meet that sort of live out there, the interesting people you meet that are just other hikers, you know, the wonderful parts of the country that you see. You might see a ghost, you might encounter some haunts or something interesting. I just tried to capture that whole feel and vibe and experience of a long through hike, and sort of, you know, even getting into the different little towns and different parts of the country, and just try and capture that as best as I could. And then, you know, just kind of like we were talking about earlier, the role that a through hike can play in a life as a, you know, a chance to reflect and reassess and sort of really figure out whether you're, you know, living to your values, or whether what your values are, and then, you know, how you want to spend your remaining time.
Yeah, I think that's a great contribution to the hiking community. It's a different form of information for folks, as opposed to sort of the non-fictional, you know, information that you can find about how to do a through hike or about a specific trail. This is more about the experience. And I like that you didn't make it specifically about the AT, even though that's your experience that you based it on, but you have a fictional trail and fictional characters and fictional towns and, yeah, I mean, you were really able to deliver the message in your story by taking that approach. I assume that you did that intentionally.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that you agree and that you think it's a good model. It's definitely, it's a unique book. There's not a lot of fictional sort of hiking travelogues out there. So it's makes it difficult to market. But yeah, it's good when people say it's yeah, I very much appreciate it when people say that you know, it was a worthwhile path.
I definitely think you've made a great contribution to the hiking community. As someone who's completed the AT, what advice do you have for listeners who may be considering any through hike, you know, on the AT or a different trail?
Yeah, it's always tough to give advice on through hikes because, you know, it's such a big experience, and what caught me up might not be the thing that catches you up. It's just a different experience for everybody. But sort of touching on what we talked about earlier is, you know, people get really goal oriented out there. You know, talk about making specific miles, averaging certain miles, being, they want to be in Damascus in such amount of time. The way, yeah, I probably figured out how to phrase this later in life, but like, the Appalachian Trail is not an efficient means of getting anywhere. You're out hiking the Appalachian Trail because you want to be on the Appalachian Trail or any long trail, and you want to enjoy that experience. And so, if you start thinking in solely goal-oriented ways and just, progress, making it, I want to get there, let's get to Katahdin or let's get to Springer Mountain. It makes it tough. It kind of takes you out of the moment, and it takes away from that meditation and everything else. And it kind of starts driving people crazy because it's a really long time to be out there doing that and not getting to your goal. So, yeah, if just trying to stay in the moment, enjoying being out there. There's that kind of cliche phrase like the journey is the destination, and that's definitely the case for a thru hike. Try and take in the moment, and then like I did when I ended up going into New York, just letting opportunities come and taking advantage of all the unique stuff that will kind of come your way that you won't be able to do if you say no to those because you want to get that extra 18 miles that day or whatever it is. So yeah, I mean, just enjoying it, let yourself enjoy it and don't get caught up, be it competition or just, trying to meet your itinerary.
I am so glad to hear you say that because up until now, I've always thought I would be a terrible thru hiker because I do get caught in the moment. And if I see something that really interests me, I stop and I enjoy it for as long as I want to enjoy it. And then I move on. And oftentimes that means I don't do a ton of miles. And sometimes, some days are big days where, I do 10 or 15 miles and other days I get back to my car and I've only done 5, even though I've been hiking all day. But it's because I stop to watch the birds, or I stop to enjoy the sunset, or like something else happens that I want to be present in the moment, and I'm not so concerned about being on the move.
Yeah.
So yeah, so to hear you say that, I'm like, oh, so maybe I could still be a thru hiker and just not have to be concerned about how many miles I'm doing a day, because that's all I ever hear when you listen to thru hikers. They're like, we have to get to this shelter by this time, and we have to get to this water source by this time, and it's almost like they have their whole itinerary mapped out,
Yeah.
and they're just trying to check those boxes.
Yep, and there's definitely, a backdrop to what I said. You do still need to make time. But don't forget while you're out why you're out there, and don't forget to like enjoy it. It's somebody when I was out there told me that I was supposed to treat it like a job and hike 8 hours every day and make sure that I met all my responsibilities.
Oh,
And
that sounds terrible.
yeah, then that guy ended up quitting. So I mean, it's just you got to enjoy it and let yourself enjoy it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So, The Habits of Squirrels is available for purchase right now. Where can listeners buy your book?
Yeah, so you can buy it on my website, Brian Livingston Books. If you buy it through the website, I will sign it for you and send it off to you personally. You can buy it through, it's not, it's in probably a dozen bookstores throughout the South. I won't take the time to list each one, but if you go through your favorite local independent bookstore website, it is on indiebound.org, so you can buy the book, support me, and support your local bookstore, and support a great organization that sort of also links independent bookstores. And then, less exciting, you can buy it through Amazon with the reliability of that large provider. And then you can also buy it at one of my many stops on my upcoming book tour.
Yeah,
Yeah,
talk
I'll
about
be.
that. You're coming to three cities in Virginia.
Yep. And working on maybe adding some more dates. I'll be in Marion, Virginia at the Outfitter Marion Outdoors on October 7th. I'll be talking to the Washington and Lee University Outing Club on October 19th. And then I will be in Winchester, Virginia at the Winchester Book Gallery on October 22nd.
Awesome. Yeah. And so I suppose if you're going to add more dates to that, you'll probably put it on your website and social media.
Oh yeah, I'll make sure that I let everybody know.
So, how can listeners connect with you? You mentioned the website, but what are your other pages?
Yep. So there's the website. There is my Instagram. That's probably where I'm most active. That's Brian Livingston Books or at Brian Livingston Books. I'm on Twitter at Livingston Books, and I'm on Facebook, author Brian Livingston.
Awesome. I'll drop links to those in the show notes so folks can click directly there. And Brian, thank you so much for joining me on Virginia Outdoor Adventures and chatting with me about your new book, The Habits of Squirrels.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I love talking about the Virginia outdoors.
It's not too late to add The Habits of Squirrels to your summer reading list. Be sure to check the show notes in your podcast player for links to the book and more info about upcoming events. Feel free to message me your feedback on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or email me at jessica@virginiaoutdooradventures.com. If you would like to support Virginia Outdoor Adventures, you can visit buymeacoffee.com/JessicaBowser, where you can buy me a virtual coffee or sign up for a Virginia Outdoor Adventures membership. Your contribution enables me to produce new episodes for the upcoming season. Thank you so much for your support. Until next time, friends, adventure on.